Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for this wonderful time we just had to worship you, to sing praises to your name, Lord. And we know all of heaven is cheering us on to run this race of faith, Father. I ask, Lord, for an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Speak through my lips. Open the ears to hear what the church needs to hear, Lord, what the Spirit is speaking expressly to this church of Philadelphia, Lord. Give me clarity of mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 24:4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Let me say it again. The disciples are asking, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." The title of this message is "Take Heed." Take heed. That word "heed" is blepo in the Greek. And it's to see, it's to discern of the bodily eye. It's to perceive by the use of your eyes. It's turn to the eyes to anything, to look at, to gaze upon, to perceive by senses, to feel, to discover by use, to know by experience, to have the power of understanding, to discern mentally, to observe, to perceive, to discover, to understand, to turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing, to consider, to contemplate, to look at, to weigh carefully, and to examine. That's a power-packed word. And that's the first thing he says to him is, take heed that no one deceives you, because we are living in times of great deception. The power of the words being spoken, they frame thoughts, they create fears, they create new habits. And we live in unprecedented times in which people are getting battle fatigued. I would say believers are getting battle weary. They're getting battle fatigued. But we are heading right now, folks, the great pivot. It's the great pivot that's happening now. For 2 years, we have heard about this pandemic. And now suddenly, things are starting to ease. Restrictions, mandates. And a result, there's been this great pushback all across the world. You see these people resisting because people are waking up to see and understand that they've been lied to. They've been told to go down this certain path. And suddenly, because there's been this resistance that people have woken up to, the narrative has eroded. And so now you see the world leaders pivoting. But that which has been accomplished in the last 2 years has laid this great foundation to this new system. And Jesus warns us before his coming that there's going to be deception. And I have told you, and I think Kate even mentioned it last week, that as the birth pangs, you see how they're converging right now. They've been converging. This is not something new yet you're hearing. Anyone who cannot see and feel the changes that have taken place in this country alone since the last major election, you've either been in solitary confinement or you've been in a coma. The things that are listed in Matthew 24, the things listed in Luke 21, we're well past the beginning stage, folks. This should put a spirit of anticipation in our hearts for all who have received and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because the attitudes of the perilous times that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, noted in by Paul in 2 Timothy, they are all present and they are becoming more in the open now than ever before. And we know that with birth pangs that many will fall away from the faith as lawlessness increases. I look at the world and I think about those who the scoffers, right? That this has all been going on ever since the beginning of time. This is continuous. The very thought that many are saying that is a fulfillment of prophecy. You understand that, right? Right. Scoffers, as noted, 2 Peter 3, 3 through 4. But as the narrative pivots away from COVID, because there's a lot of signs now that you're going to probably hear over the next few weeks that it's now being an endemic, not a pandemic, an endemic. I'm sounding the warning right now, folks. Watch out. This is going to be Hopium Part 2. It's going to be on a whole nother level. Distractions. I can see the narrative now of people saying like, oh, like people even within some of these churches that closed, all the restrictions, like, oh, it's gone now, let's get back to normal. And I am telling you, watch out. Watch out, because you're going to be lulled and pulled into complacency. That Laodicean spirit is going to come tugging again. Last week, I listened to J.D. Farag in his prophecy update, and I need to comment on this because I'm talking about some of these, the churches, and I say that loosely, but he shared this article in the Daily Wire and how the federal government used evangelical leaders to spread COVID propaganda to churches. And this is written by Megan Basham on February 2nd. And she talks about in September, Wheaton College Dean Ed Stelzer interviewed National Institutes of Health Director Francis Collin on his podcast, Church Leadership, about why Christians who want to obey Christ's command to love their neighbors should get the medical solution and avoid indulging in misinformation. We've heard that, love your neighbor, a lot. This man, Collins, is interconnected with a lot of evangelical leaders. And later in this article, you need to understand there's a point here. Former mega church pastor Tim Keller's joint interview with Collins included a digression where the pair agreed that churches like John MacArthur's, which continued to meet in person despite COVID lockdowns, represented the bad and ugly of good, bad, and ugly Christian responses to the virus. I find that hard to believe because my Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Amen. We did our civic duty for two weeks or whatever it was. And actually, Dennis was the one who said, hey, we need to get back to it here. Continuing this article, during Saddleback, Pastor Rick Warren's special broadcast with Collins, so this guy has interviewed with all these leaders, on behalf of Health and Human Services, he mentioned that he and Collins, listen to this, because you've heard this from this pulpit before, first met when both were speakers for the billionaires and heads of state who gather annually in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum. They reconnected recently, and Warren revealed at an off-the-record meeting between Collins and key faith leaders. Warren did not say, but one can make an educated guess as who convened that meeting and for what purpose, giving the strikingly similarity of Collins' appearances alongside all these leading Christian lights. Once again, Warren and Collins spent their interview jointly lamenting the unlovingness of Christians who question the efficacy of masks, specifically framing it as a matter of obedience to Jesus. Wearing a mask is the great commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself, the best-selling author of The Purpose-Driven Life declared. being going on to specifically argue that religious leaders have an obligation to convince religious people to accept the government's narratives about COVID. Let me just say a word to the priests and pastors and rabbis and other faith leaders, he said. This is our job, to deal with the conspiracy issues and things like that. One of the responsibilities of faith leaders is to tell people to trust the science. They're not going to put out a vaccine that's going to hurt people. One of the responsibilities of faith leaders is to tell people to trust the science. No, the responsibility of the faith leader is to trust in the Lord. And that's what... That is so distorted of truth by any stretch of the imagination. Do you understand the World Economic Forum, which is behind the Great Reset, and all of a sudden this has gotten commingled with some of the biggest names in the so-called evangelical church? And I say that loosely. It's tied together. I've been telling you that all along. And it made me sick when I heard it. I didn't know about the article, and I heard it. And I had to read it for myself, and I got nauseated. And then I thought about the people who have been spewing about loving thy neighbor about this stuff. And I'm going, they're polluted. They're polluted. They took the truth and wrapped it in a lie. This world has been given over. We are, the Romans 1 reprobate mind. God says, I'll give them over. You want, this is what you want, you got it. I'm going to give you over. He is allowing this evil progression to continue to fulfill biblical prophecy. This age we are in is rapidly coming to an end, and the next stage is starting soon. And God is giving precious time for people to cry out to him, wishing that none would perish, none would be condemned, but eventually he's going to tell Jesus, go get your bride. It's time for us to go home. Satan knows his time is getting short, folks. And he wants to pull as many souls away from the Lord as possible. Do not be lulled asleep. Don't be lulled. The catalyst, I am not an expert, but it's obvious even to a novice that we are in line for a major change coming very soon. Perhaps it's World War III. Isn't it funny how suddenly the narrative has died down on the pandemic and now the focal point has become this focus on war? The war drums pounding. In the midst of all of that, there's a distraction. That is a distraction because guess what's happened? The prices of food are going up. The prices of gas has been going up. Look over here. Meanwhile, the foundations are crumbling. Do you understand? Do you understand the capture of the focus? That major change, maybe it is World War III. Maybe it happens this week after Olympics are over. Maybe it's an economic collapse. Maybe it's climate change. Maybe it's a blend of all three. I think you'll still see issues surrounding the virus, but I think it's going to be limited to certain areas where they want to kind of control things. You have a spike. They'll sound the alarm again. These birth pains have been exposed, and maybe we're in a reprieve right now. We've had this contraction, and maybe we're in that pause in between the next contraction. I would say it's prudent to make sure you get your house in order spiritually, physically. Get your house in order. Lawlessness is on the rise. People are becoming unhinged. As is the world itself. I scour through these different articles that just come into my feed constantly, And I look at it, and it's just so clear as day to me that things are just lined up. This is all part of a bigger plan, folks. It's a rise of a new order in the world, and it's just wrapped in deception. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6-12 says, "I know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." It's working on overtime now. "Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming," praise God. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Yes, the great evil and deception will be orchestrated by Satan. Those who reject divine truth are the ones who will think the Antichrist is wonderful. Evil men will become even worse, because we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against Satan and principalities, demonic forces, folks. And God will cause the world to be deceived. Not going to hear that a lot from most churches. God would do that? Yes, he'll do that, and it gives you the answer. "In order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness, in unrighteousness." That is God. God will intentionally cause those who have already ultimately and finally rejected Jesus Christ and indulging in the pleasures of sin for their season to be completely deceived. He gives them over. It's a giving over. That's what you want? I'm going to give you over to it. Because they rejected Christ. And then when God judges them, his judgments will prove he is righteous, because they will prove that they deserve hell. That's pretty heavy, folks. And it's been a long 2 years. A lot of us feel like we're at the end of a tether. I feel like you get pummeled constantly in this unfriendly, hostile environment. Some are worse than others, environments-wise. But I made a comment earlier about your inner man. Your inner man should be getting stronger by the moment. We see what is coming ahead. And so we shouldn't be freaking out. We should not be freaking out. On the contrary, there is renewed hope as we see the silver lining beyond the darkening skies. Why? Because the word says so. It's clearly spelled out. It's spelled out in 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. It's confirmed, which you do well to heed. Oh, what about that word? You do heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Take heed to that prophetic word. Think about the situation in Luke 21, what it's going to be like on this world. Men's hearts failing them for what has come upon this earth. Being spiritually ignorant brings no peace. None. When things get worse, then it just creates unfounded worries. But fears can be swept away when there's wisdom and understanding of the prophetic word. When you understand these things must happen and you see how it ties together, you say, okay, I get it. Doesn't make it easy, But you'll get through it. He's with you. His promises are yes and amen. Bible prophecy enables us to make complete sense of what is happening. And what happens is that cloud of doom just blows away. I know, I've sat there, I've had the cloud of doom over my head going, man, how much longer is this going to go? But when you see the big picture, and I was thinking about that. I was watching, as I was walking around the lake at Disney World, you'll see like these hawks and vultures and eagles, and they're just soaring up above the clouds. And it's like they're getting the big picture from up top. And they look and they see down. They get they got the view picture, and obviously then they're honing in. And I think about us, that we would mount up with wings like eagles, that we could see that big picture. We see what's coming, but then we narrow down on the focus point. And that focus point is who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when we can focus on that, because we have the Word of God who tells us that, we can spread hope to others, because we understand that our eternal joy is coming around the corner. Amen? Because what's coming? Food shortages coming around the world. Low fertilizer stockpiles. I just read that La Nina is back, and the Southwest is going to experience worse drought than it did last year. That's where a lot of the food is created in this country. There's chatter points to a stock market meltdown of epic proportions, along with a pivot to a new digital currency. We know that war could break out any time in Eastern Europe, as well as the East Asian waters. Maybe after the Olympics, we'll see. Remember how we talked about logistically things had to move? Well, logistically those things have moved. You realize that, right? Militarily. Meanwhile, the administration walked back its sanctions on Iran. Had Iran cowering at the point where they were about to fail, and they walked back their sanctions to infuse them with more capital so they can move on with their agenda. Reprobate minds. They don't see it. We're a minority, folks. We're a minority. Obviously, there's prevailing for the virus to mutate or some other global pathogen making way for an even deadlier event. And those who do not know the prophetic word and have the anointing of the Holy Spirit are going to be running scared. But not you, beloved. Not you. The bride of Christ, there is a sense of expectation, because what is going to happen on this earth, Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, that's going to happen, mentioned in Revelation 6, but we have an anticipation of blessed hope. So we lift up our hearts. We lift up our heads. Our redemption draws near. And this is why we need to trust the Lord more now than ever. Be on guard. Take heed, because the enemy is going to throw the kitchen sink at you. Wanting you to look right, wanting you to look left. Focus, focus, focus. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Evil will be considered good and good will be considered evil. In the last days, people will be increasingly more insensitive to sin. it's just easier thing to do, because the morals have collapsed. Now it's not a moral society based on Judeo-Christian values. It's what's your truth is your truth, and your truth might be different than your truth, and what your compass says. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Weird thinking. Consciences are seared as a result of that, because hearts get hardened to the Lord, to God, which they all know through the evidence of creation itself. But they blot that out. They don't want to be accountable, and therefore they create their own image of God, whatever it is, in themselves or whatever they want it to be. Evil's going to explode. And in addition to that, 1 Timothy 4, 1-2, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron. That is a very vivid illustration, folks. A picture emerges of people who had faith, a specific faith at one time, but whose natural desires overshadow that. And they start pursuing that. And what happens? It's the progression in Romans 1. Given over. They regress to a place where they literally become scoffers, where they can no longer discern the truth, but only live to fulfill their senses. And as faith deteriorates, it'll pave way for the harlot. We know the harlot, right? The harlot will rise, a one-world religion that will pave way to eventually worship of the Antichrist. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Both houses look great on the outside, don't they? They look great. Maybe even the one on the beach sounds pretty awesome. They both had the appearance of a house, folks. But the foundation on the sand was faulty. And if you have your foundation on the things of this world, the government, and your own schemes, your appearance may look the part, a form of godliness. But you will be swept away by the deception that comes on this earth and is already growing. You understand? If your home is built on the sand, you need to tear it down. You need to tear it down now and go back to your first love, Christ. That was the first book or first church in the book of Asia, right? Ephesus. Go back and do your first works over. Go back to your first love. Put your faith and trust in Christ alone. He is the chief cornerstone. If you remove the cornerstone, it falls. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Have confidence and trust his will and his plan. That means put your life into his hands. Because in our own understanding, we do not and cannot fully comprehend God's plan and purpose. He already knows the route we need to take. He's gone before us to clear the path. We have to have faith. We have to trust him and take him at his word, and he will lead us. You know, I just got back from a trip at Disney World. I took a wonderful time. And my son and daughter rode on Space Mountain for the very first time. And it was two different experiences. I told Caitlin, hold on.
and I'll keep my hand on you. Well, she gets in the front. She's in the front row on the ride, and she wasn't prepared for what was coming. It's a dark ride. She couldn't see where it was going. And I meant to have my hand on there to hold her, but what happened was she leaned forward because she couldn't see and she got scared. And so she's just crunched over like this. So she goes through the whole ride without my hand upon her. Get off. And she's shaking, you know. Now she's fine, clearly, but she was scared. You know, she was scared. She shook her. Versus Jeffrey. Jeffrey goes, and mommy beforehand says, okay, Jeffrey, here's what's going to happen. Okay? It's a dark ride. You're going to go ups and downs. I need you to sit back, and mommy's going to have her hand on you the whole time. He goes through the ride, and he's like, this is piece of cake. Piece of cake, right? He gets through the whole ride. And the point I'm trying to make is Jeffrey knew what to anticipate, and so he was prepared, right? The word of instruction was verbally spoken to him. A hand of authority was with him on his back the entire ride, and he had complete faith and trust in her words. That's an example of us. We have the word of instruction of what to expect, right? And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He upholds us with his right hand. We need to trust him. Amen. By the way, she did this other roller coaster, rock and roller coaster. Mommy does a great job explaining it to her. She's like happier than a lark after that, right? Right? So it's just really me. It's bad parenting on me.
That's how she drives.
That's right. Trust in him. Listen, all the chaos we see in the world today and in our lives is really due to man's belief that we have all the answers. Right? Man is kind of creating its own utopia. We have all the answers. Here's all the solutions. We know better than God. And we are equally guilty of that mindset, right? Where we kind of see how we tell God, this is how it's going to go down, right? And God is calling us away from that mindset. A mindset of self-sufficiency, self-dependency, self-rule, self-guidance. He's shaking the foundations of the earth to get us to lay hold of him, to trust in him, to allow the Holy Spirit now to take control, to lead us, to empower us, to strengthen us for the time in which we live. Believing that we know how to handle and solve the issues of life rather than God who created us just sets us up to be deceived. It leads us down a path of frustration, because I'm trying to control things and I want things to go the way I want them to go. And it doesn't work out and we get frustrated. And then we get confused. Why is this happening, right? Who's the author of confusion? Not God. God's not the author of confusion. Satan is. We get trouble. Life gets chaotic. We have heartache and difficulty and fear, doubt and anger. Anxiety, strife, misunderstandings. We don't have all the answers. That's why we need God. Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We need to trust in God and lean on his understanding, and then we are able to rest in the power of the all-knowing, sovereign, completely sufficient God, creator of the universe, who has complete control of the situation. Need I remind you? And the reality is, the wicked have no idea what's going on. They know something's off, right? But they don't understand what really is going on. But believers who are being led by the Holy Spirit will understand. Daniel 12:10, many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Gift of the Spirit, wisdom, discernment. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That ties back to the reality of the times, right? You will have tribulation. You will have tribulation, and your best life is coming when Christ comes. It's not now. Not now. Don't go back to what we were talking about, those other evangelical leaders, right? What they're saying, right? He says, though, you can overcome. You're an overcomer because of faith in him. Because he overcame, you become an overcomer. It also means we have peace in the midst of perilous times, but you have to keep your focus on the Prince of Peace. So keep your focus. Take heed. Be aware, because deception is going to be rampant, and it can get very turbulent very quickly, folks. And we have this promise. Isaiah 26, 3-4, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength, folks. Everlasting strength. Amen. We are looking for joy to come because of what the Lord has done. So now is not the time. If you are wavering, if you are in the valley of decision, if you are listening online and you don't know the Lord, now is not the time to put off planning for your eternity. If you have been delaying until later to call on Jesus to save you, that later is here and it's right now. He could call his flock home at any moment. You could breathe your last breath at any moment. There is no guarantee for tomorrow. All who delay past that point will soon realize how big of a mistake they have made, and it's an eternal, eternal mistake. It's a scary thought to spend an eternity separated from God in hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you don't know Christ, you can know him today. You must first, A, admit you're a sinner, and you need a Savior. There is none righteous, not one, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You need to repent. Metanoia, it's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. You were an enemy of God. And if you would just believe, you could be a friend of God. You could be a child and son of God. If you would believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. For Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Just call upon the Lord. See, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today is the day. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't blink. Commit your life today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it knows the discerner of the thoughts of the heart, Lord. Reveal by the Holy Spirit the things that need to be purged in the lives of this church that are just, we know the enemy is a thief, a liar, and he looks to destroy and devour, Lord. Purge those things away that look to steal and rob us of joy in you, the hope in you, and the peace we have in you. Let us be about your kingdom business. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You are dismissed.